Generation X Paranormal.
Well, hey guys, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Doing good. How are you guys?
We're good. Yeah, we're absolutely honored to have you guys here. You know, truth be told, we've known each other in the real world, as they say. So, you know, we met at SpiritCon. Gosh, how long ago was that now?
It was in March.
March. Must say 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah. Or was it February?
Maybe it was February.
I don't know. Time passes so fast.
Yeah, I don't know. At this point, I'm lucky I remember what I did 5 minutes ago. But
it was nice and warm, though.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. But no, we had a great time talking with you guys. So we're like, you know what? It'd be awesome to have Sam and Mike on. You know, you guys have such a rich history of things that you've done in the past. I would really like our audience to kind of get to know a little bit about yourselves. And you guys can decide who gets to go first or however you want to do it. But, if you could just tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Wait, you ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
One, wait, one, two, three. Ha! How do we get into this?
No, he said tell a little bit about yourself.
I've been doing this off and on. It seems like my whole life, but I've always been into aliens.
Yeah.
Before I met her, I science fiction books, Area 51, flying saucers, awesome. Okay.
Yep.
So then I meet this lovely creature, and she goes, how would you like to go to and investigate a home or an abandoned building? I went, why? And she goes, don't you want to talk to the other side? I went, okay. So we go out. I've been hooked for the last 30 years. Yeah. You know, and the funny part is, you guys remember, you guys know Ghost Hunters, right? Taps Boys.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the episode with the lighthouse down in Florida where they had that dark mass? As they're going up the lighthouse stairs, that dark mass leaned over.
Yeah, yes. It kind of went over the rail.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
So I turned to her and I went, oh, crap, man, we're going. And so Amy Bruni held a Strange Escapes there. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not.
Yes.
But we went down with Amy Bruni and Annenberry for her Strange Escapes. I must have climbed those stairs. I mean, it's like 80 feet. I climbed it three times. And what happened? Nothing.
Of course.
That's a great activity, but I spent the whole time searching.
Yeah.
And I've been hooked ever since. And it's been an absolute blast trying to investigate with her.
But we had a good Estes session because there was a man and a woman arguing about what, and then he pushed her over. So, of the lady with the shadow that leaned over the rail, because to me it looked like a female in a dress.
It's been a while since I've seen it. It's been
a bit. Like a black mask to me.
Did look like a black mask, but I don't know if I remember.
When she said we had the Estes session, do your viewers, do you think they know what Estes is?
So some probably do, and some probably don't. So like, I always laugh because I think I know what our audience likes, and then we release something and I realize I don't know anything. But I think for the most part, they're sort of middle of the road. So for example, my mom listens, and she wouldn't know what the Estes method was to save her life. So, yeah, right. If you want to kind of talk about it and kind of let everybody know what the Estes method is.
Okay, so way back when, maybe, what, 6 years ago? Eight? Oh, my God, time flies. So we're with Greg and Nadine Newkirk from the Traveling Museum of the Paranormal. Of the occult. And they're friends with Connor Randall and Carl Pfeiffer, who were at one time in-house investigators at the Stanley Hotel.
With Michelle Tate.
So where's the Stanley Hotel located?
Estes Park,
Colorado. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hence the name, the Estes Method, because these guys developed it there. And it's just a better way to communicate with the spirits, where people, sometimes on TV, they call it the spirit box method,
right,
where you have the blindfold, you have the headphones, and we go from there. So if anybody ever says the spirit box makes it in front of you, laugh and say, Estes. And now you know why. It's Estes Park, Colorado.
Yeah.
But
now she gets to tell you about why and how it's really done.
Well, no, there's just, it's a little learning from them and Dana Newkirk. It's a little frustrating for me because people will slap on a $5 pair of headphones, plug them into an SB7, use a mask, not use a mask. You can't hear the radio sweeping. So you know they can hear your questions, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, and the idea is not to hear anything.
The idea is not to hear anything, not to see anything, kind of put yourself in a deprivation chamber.
Right. Right.
And some people say, oh, no, I'll go to the other end of the hall. I go to another room, but they put a recorder in there. You don't have to do that if you use Vic Firth.
Right.
Vic Firth are drummer's earphones. They were Connor's headphones that they plugged in because they were talking to a spirit there named Eddie. And so,
At least to put it the way, if you use the right headphones, I guarantee you I can stay in the front and scream and you don't hear, you can't even begin to hear me.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear if I'm asking questions because I want it to be a truly an experience. I want you to tell me what you hear, not what you think I'm saying.
Right.
And I think that for sure. And I really think that when you use like noise cancellation, if you can't hear anything, kind of like what you said, Sam, about that, like that deprivation, that I think when you do that, you kind of can, I mean, it does kind of get you into a better mode, at least like if you can hear other things and your ambient noises, I mean, how alert are you really going to be? And how do you really get all your other senses kind of working to listen to those sweeps and those sort of things?
Right. And it takes time to get into that. For me, it's like a meditative state because I listen to white noise all the time anyway. I go to bed with white noise, and that's a whole other story when you're sleeping at the villa. But it just puts you in that meditative state. Some people will rock back and forth with it. Some people tap their legs. It's just getting you in that right mindset, that higher consciousness, because eventually for me, that white noise goes away and people said, no, you didn't have your headphones on. I can hear it sweeping. I set my volume to 30. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's coming out. You can hear. I want to make sure that I don't hear anything that's going on outside of those headphones. That's why it's blasting. I don't recommend it if you wear hearing aids. That would not be good.
I promise you, volume 30 will rock your brain.
Yeah. We tried it.
It puts you in an isolation.
They did.
Yeah. Oh, you did try it.
Yeah, at SpiritCon, we tried it. And you're right. It is very loud. But honestly, it was worth it.
Oh, tell everybody how tight the headphones were.
Oh, they were. They were there. But no, I tried it and I listened really hard. I think I only heard one thing and I can't remember what it was now. But the thing that I actually didn't tell you guys after I came out, because I was thinking that it was just maybe you like telling me I should be done. But when I talked to him, he's like, no, she was talking to me the entire time.
Yeah.
But I kept feeling like little taps on the earphone like this. And I thought you were just like getting like it's time to be done. And then I felt you touch my knee. And I was like, okay, well, it's time to be done. Because it happened like literally maybe 30 seconds before that. But I just felt little taps like this.
What she didn't realize is you and I had been talking like the whole time she was in it. And I'm like, no, Sam and I were talking and Mike was to my left. The only person that was anywhere near you was air. So anything that you felt tapping, it wasn't any of us.
that you could see.
Right, yeah. that you could see. Exactly.
So then I was like, whoa, that's something actually happened. But I don't remember hearing much anyway.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, Sam, you're up. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
You're up, kid.
Oh, boy. I could write a book.
Yes, you could.
One of these days I will. That's on the agenda. We have
cussed and discussed it, but that's about as far as we've gotten. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've started a couple of times.
But, that's a lot to ask of yourself, though, a book, because you just... I mean, I've thought about doing it a few times too, and it's like you get started and you're like, well, I don't want to say this. I want to focus on that. Next thing you know, the book's not even the same thing that you started. So anyway,
well, see, that's why you have three different books going, right? Because I have three different ones that I want to write about. And then my friend does Feminine Macabre. Mm. She puts stories in that book because that lady asked for authors, which is fantastic. You should follow her if you're not on Facebook. But so I have friends that have written different stories and put in her book. So I thought maybe I'll start there. I have one written if she ever opens up and creates another series in her books. I have one to submit. But if not, I'll get it. I've got some good ideas. So, and thankfully with technology, you can talk to text. It's untelling what it's going to come out looking like. But I drive a long distance to work, and so I can just talk it all out and then just have it convert to.
Yeah, that'd be convert perfect.
Talk to text on my laptop. So yeah. Let's see. Oh boy, where do I start? How did I get started?
Way back in the day.
I grew up in a haunted house as a little kid. My sister and I would play with ghosts in the attic. We played Dynamax Shack and Hi Ho Cheerio games. I'm sure you guys don't know anything about.
Oh, I know those. I know Hi Ho Cheerio.
We actually
for sure.
live in a haunted house. Do you?
No. Shoots and Ladders are my favorite.
I did too. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
We didn't have those.
I know. Played with my granddaughter.
Ants in the Pans, where you flip the little ants and they go in a pair of jeans with suspenders.
Barrel full of monkeys.
Super cute.
Yeah. I remember the
really paranormal, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really paranormal.
But we would play up in the attic. I thought they were real kids. My mom worked two jobs to support us, so she wasn't home, and we lived in a holler in Kentucky for those of you who don't know what a holler is, just look it up. It's just a carved out road in the middle of a hillside where a bunch of family members live. But it was extremely haunted. Somebody crawled in bed with my mom one night while we were down at my grandparents. She forgot she had taken us there, and she just kept, my sister always stole the covers. So she's telling her, stop pulling the covers off of her, stop pulling the covers off of her. And then she finally flipped on the light, and there's an impression of a body laying in this bed next to her. Wow. And she got her car keys and she left, and we moved out the next day and moved in with my grandparents. So she had had enough. But everywhere, we moved back to a house just right down below. It's just crazy. I've been around haunted things all my life. I've seen spirits. I talked to spirits. I've had a number of amazing mentors. I dabble in tarot. I dabble with candles, a lot of divination. I went to Arthur Findlay College to take courses for my mediumship. Then I followed Tony Stockwell up to Omega Institute and took some more mediumship classes up there, taken several online with John Holland and Janet Novak, who's no longer with us. But I've tried to dabble in a bunch of different things, trying to find my right lane where I need to be. But I think what I'm most passionate about is helping finding missing persons. That seems to really resonate with me. I can't say I work because it's not work, but I volunteer for an organization out of a private organization that's led by a private detective who has a team of psychics, and I'm just one of them. I don't run the group. Another lady runs the group. And then when something happens, she'll get on the phone and send us all a message. We don't get any information. We just get the photo, and then we sit down and we write up everything that we receive from spirit that's given to us, because we're very evidential medium is what I would call myself, because I need relevant, accurate, helpful information to help them find that person or who's responsible for that death of that person, and which has been the case all the time so far. But that's where I feel like I'm called for my mediumship, and that's where I do my most work. I have been able, with the help, my first case I worked on for them, identified the guy to a T, and went through what happened to her, and then
wait, when she says identified the guy, that's the guy who committed the crime.
Right? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So there was a female girl, and beautiful girl, and I kept getting something about a gym. I saw her being taken out of her townhome, duplex, whatever she was in, put into a car. I had pressure in my chest, and I wanted to vomit. I've never done drugs, so I don't know that overdosing too much drugs kind of feeling, but I have a daughter, so I've been pregnant, and it was very much that morning sickness kind of thing. Right. It's the only thing I could relate it with. And I just said, she's pregnant. She met this guy at the gym, has something to do at the gym. I don't know if he's a personal trainer, but he's over 6 foot tall. He's kind of balding, beard, got some tats. And then I should show you the picture, but after we wrote, all of us write in and submitted in to the leader, the head psychic of us, and came back, the picture was identical. Not only was that poor girl that he killed, she was shot in the chest, and she was set in her blazer. My friend got the blazer or SUV in her purse. She got her purse exactly what it looked like, gold chain, white purse with a black flap, was found in his home. Wow. I mean, not in his home, in his truck, behind his truck. And he actually owned the gym. He wasn't the trainer. He was the gym owner. Wow. And his wife was also pregnant. So it's just that trying to help a family, that part of it's rewarding. The closure for the missing persons, I helped with the coordinates. A spirit came to me and he gave me, because they were trying to find this young, handsome kid. And it just, long story short, he was talking to me, giving me relevant, accurate information. And so I asked him if he would give me the coordinates to where you're at, because he was in the water. Mm. And so he had been in a boat crash, and he gave me these coordinates. So I relayed them back, and they took a dive team and they found him.
Wow.
And he's hung on something, but it didn't feel like a tree. He was hung on a crab trap. Crab trap. Say that fast three times. Yeah.
I would say something terrible.
No, I didn't know they had crab traps in Texas, but that's what he was hung on. But at least they found him and they got closure. I wish it was that clear with every case I work on, but it's not. It's not.
Yeah.
And I try to make sure I work with an organization, because people will come and say, if you do this, I'll split the reward with you.
Yeah.
No, that's not how she operates.
Sure.
I do want to go back and clarify one thing that she really glossed over when she said she went to this Arthur Findlay College. Mm-hmm. It's based in London, England. Huh? And it's like the Harvard University for mediums. The people that run it are like Harvard professors. They have like the Tony Stockwell. They have millions of followers. Mm-hmm. And she goes there for a week, and it's 9 to 9 for 7 days. I mean, you're on campus. You can't leave. You start at 9. You end at 9. Classes all day, meditation, retreats for one solid week. And she came back so energized, I was scared. I mean, she was pumped.
And
people say, well, what's Arthur Findlay College? You can Google it. It's totally amazing what they do there, and how they teach, and how they get you to stretch that muscle to mm-hmm. that you can wind up becoming just better at what you do and what gifts you have.
For sure.
Well, everybody has the gift. It's just whether or not you want to massage that muscle or not.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and I think you and I actually talked about that when we were talking. In fact, that story of the crab, I was going to say it, but the crab trap. we talked about that. And I think I remember telling you, I said, I personally feel, and I've said this on our show many times, that while it can be kind of shown as a gift, I think what the gift is being able to utilize the same, the thing that everybody kind of naturally has. I think that, you know, over time, you know, living and day-to-day grind, people have lost the ability to do that. I mean, I honestly
talk about that a lot.
Yeah, actually, we talk about it all the time. I say, I think that's what kind of kept us alive before we had, you know, all the safety features of life that we have now, is to have that ability to tap into that. And so, no, I'm glad you brought that up, because we had actually, you and I had talked about that at that point too. So I agree.
Yeah. Hone in on that intuition.
You know, all of us had that intuition, like right. you said. Mm-hmm. I always tell a lot of our guests when they come to one of our events is that your body is still the best mechanism for detecting weirdness. Because yep. you've walked into a place, you go, this ain't right.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. Something's off. Listen to your body. Because yeah. if you can get that muscle developed, you would be amazed at what you can do.
Yep.
I can't tell you how many times I've been to a location, I've walked into a room going, Sam, come here. Because she has the abilities and I don't. But you can still tell,
oh, for
hey,
sure.
that's off. That's not right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, you know, that's something that I've been learning to listen to more and really kind of tap into is my ability to do exactly what you said and be able to read rooms. In fact, I don't know if you and I had talked about this, but when we walked into that building that SpiritCon was held in, as soon as I mm-hmm. walked in that door
yeah,
and
did.
that room to the right, I know people listening to this and watching this won't have
room.
A clue. Yeah, nobody will have a clue what we're talking about, but that's okay. But there was a door when you first walked in to the right, and as soon as I walked in, I felt like there was these faces just staring out of that doorway as we're walking in to get the tickets, and I'm just like, I looked over at Nicole, and I'm like, yeah, there's something definitely here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you talked to that one guy later about it, the one guy from the, I can't remember which one, the investigator.
Yeah.
And they had investigated there, and he said, oh, yeah, something is happening in that room.
He was wearing a kilt, and I can't remember what his name was.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Ed?
I think that was Ed.
Yeah, okay, that was Ed then, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
cool husband.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly who that was. And he was like, oh, yeah, we I'm like, well, at least I know that you know, something in here is working, right? So,
yeah.
You know. Your spidey senses were on high alert.
They were
big time tingling in that place. But, well, you know, thanks for kind of giving us a little bit of, and I know that we could probably talk for hours and hours about your backgrounds, because there is just so much with that, which is fantastic, especially like Mike's Area 51 thing, but we can talk about that if you want, or it's up to you. but
we can always bring it up. That was I don't know how to get into that. We went with Greg and Danny Newkirk from the Traveling Museum of the Paranormal and the Occult, which has now been renamed to, like, I don't remember what it was.
The Newkirk something.
It makes no difference.
But they have a haunted objects podcast.
So we go out there. They were having a retreat for the board members, and Sam's a board member. So we get out there. There's only seven of us.
I was a board member. Let's just clarify.
And it's we stayed at the Little Alien Inn, which is basically
a trailer park.
A trailer
okay.
park.
Okay.
And it's kind of cold. There's no really
park.
Running. I mean, barely running water. There was no heat. You know. Awesome. For my first experience at Area 51. And to make a long story short, we go out to both gates, the front and back gates of Area 51. Well, don't, people, if you go out to Area 51, don't go to the back gate. It's boring. Nobody's there. It's a gate. That's it. The front gate's front. You go to the front gate, and it's actually a gate. You know, the big swinging gate, tight doors.
Right.
To the left of the gate, there's a sign about 12 feet high that lists 10 or 12 things they'll do to you if you go past this point. And the last one being a free home at a black site in Guantanamo Bay. Well, past the gate, the road goes about a couple hundred yards and turns right and goes up a hill at about a 30-degree angle. And at the top of the hill, there's the famous white truck that sits there watching to make sure no one goes past the gate. And we all kind of ventured toward the gate a little bit. Okay, so I did. So I'm walking just to see what's going to happen. The closer I get to the gate, the faster the white pickup truck comes down the hill. I stopped. It stopped. This is interesting. I go a little closer. It comes a little closer. I back up. It backs up. Okay, so we're done. It's a lot of fun. Later, what, 2-3 years later, we're at a spirit contact thing in North Kansas City. And this guy comes walking to our booth, and we get to talk, and he says, yeah, I kind of into the paranormal brand new. He said, I was just listening to a podcast called the Haunted Objects Podcast, which is Greg and Dana's podcast. He said, they were talking about some guy named Mike out of Area 51 that's going to climb that fence, and a white truck was coming for him. And I'm looking at this guy like, huh? What? Say that again? Yeah, the guy's name, Greg said the guy's name was Mike. He was a good friend. And
well, there's a picture of you.
There's a picture of me. And so he's looking at me, and I look at him and said, by the way, I'm Mike, and I'm the one going to the fence. I said, what you don't hear on the podcast is the voice behind me, which is Greg, going, oh, you can do this, Mike. Not a problem. They won't arrest you. We'll come get you out. He failed to mention this on the podcast, and it sounds like I'm a complete idiot for trying to climb the fence, which I probably yeah. Well, I was going to test them to see if they actually were going to do what they Yeah, I think they would.
Well, they would, because the people that showed up behind us when we left
evidently did something.
Booked white. I don't know if they were on the fence, but the truck came all the way down because we were leaving, and white trucks were coming from north, south, east, and west to go after the people.
They chased them across the desert with no roads at least 40 to 50 miles an hour.
Oh, and
more than that. We sat there with our mouth hanging open watching to see who was going to win that race.
That was crazy.
It was crazy.
They probably went to Guantanamo.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they did.
Whoever was chasing was bent because they weren't going to give it up. So Area 51 was awesome. Yeah. The best thing about it was, and I don't know how to explain this because if you've never seen it, we all see the sky from the city lights. And, you know, you see the moon, you see the twinkling stars. Go out to Area 51 or go out into the desert.
Yeah.
Yep. Have you ever done that? Have you ever
seen this? I'm from Arizona. So.
Yes, we have.
Isn't it mind-blowing? Yeah. I mean, at Area 51, there's nothing there. And it's, you see nebulas and galaxies. Oh, yeah. And oh, my God, it just, you can just lay there for hours and stare at the sky. It's the most gorgeous, beautiful thing I've ever seen. It just warps my tiny little brain just thinking about it.
100% agree with you. Not about the tiny brain, but about the about the stars and all the nebula and stuff like that.
Hey, we're friends. You can say that. Well, most of my friends do anyway.
It was just funny because I was getting ready to say it, and you said that tiny brain. I'm like, well, that just timed out really well. But no, you're right. You know, being from Arizona, and I'm from Tucson, and so I didn't have to deal with Phoenix. But when I was a kid, it wasn't as developed as it is now, obviously. But we used to go to this place called Tom Mix Memorial, and people who don't know who Tom Mix was, he was a cowboy.
Yes.
And he was a big old Western star. Well, he was in a car accident out there, and he was killed. In that area where he was killed, there was a memorial there. And that memorial is well known for a lot of stargazing. So we would do a lot of stuff because I was a planetary science minor. So we would go out there and do some of that stargazing and stuff. And it was absolutely incredible. And you're right. It's like I always tell people that when you're in that kind of the darkness and there isn't anything in the sky other than you and the stars, you almost can see the curvature of the dome. I mean, I know that probably doesn't make a lot of sense to people, but like,
no, it does to me.
Yeah, you can kind of see that, and you get depth of field. A lot of people don't think about that. You look at stars, and it's just a plain canvas, and it's kind of flat. But when you're out there in that kind of darkness, and you can see the stars, you can actually get depth of field. Well, anyway, I could probably have a
lot of say, there's that. Actually, you, when you're looking at it, for me, there's actually depth.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's just like, it's not a flat screen. There's
exactly.
It's like a 3D picture.
For sure. Yeah. 100%. 100%.
Or the Truman Show.
Oh, yeah. Great show. So tell me about Epic VIP. I'm excited about this. So
we are too. We are too.
Hey, well, I'll let her tell you about the company. She's better at it than I am, but we got started 3-4 years ago helping a firm out of London, England called Haunted Rooms America run events. And it gave us a chance to do things that we've always wanted to do and get into places we've never been able to get into. And at the same time, meet some really great
amazing people.
But the guy that owns Haunted Rooms that we're helping is based out of London, England. All right. It's 9 hours ahead of us. Mm-hmm. You ask a question, you might not get an answer. There were certain restrictions that we couldn't always do what we wanted to do at the events because we like to experiment. I mean, seriously, let's have fun.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So after being frustrated, we said, you know what? We can do this. And so we opened our own company this year, in January of this year, listed about 10 events. We're sold out through November.
Well, no, we have two.
Well, that wait, are... don't correct me. Don't we? Just don't, we just opened up a couple.
We have so, one. But in what Fort we opened Smith, up?
What
yeah.
We only have a few tickets left.
We have five.
You want to come to Fort Smith, Arkansas? We're going to do something called the Clayton House.
That's not too
funny. You know why I did that? Now, this is a funny story. I'm going to keep it real short. We have a great following. We really do. So when we release tickets, I'm hoping to get new people in and get mm-hmm. to talk to me. Oh, God, no. Our following buys all the tickets. I mean, gone.
Yep.
So we thought, let's go down to Clayton. Let's go down to Clayton. Let's go down to Clayton. Way far away. It didn't work. I got maybe three new people. The rest of them are all our friends. So and it's
nothing
a lot of fun.
Wrong. Nothing wrong with friends.
Because they're
we
great.
Love you guys.
But yeah. Every now and then, don't you want to get somebody new to get, because I want to hear some different stories and I want to hear some different viewpoints. And
we're going to say a friend, a regular, bring a new friend. That's going to be the requirement. If you come
absolutely.
To the event,
perfect.
You got to bring
gotta
a new
bring
buddy. You got to bring a new buddy.
Because I want to meet some more people like yourselves when we got to talk, and that was fantastic because
yeah.
mm-hmm. you and I agree on a lot of things.
Yes, we do.
And I didn't get a chance to talk to her because she's in the Estes chamber doing Estes, talking to somebody else.
Yeah. Yep. That's true.
Maybe they would give me Morse code. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know Morse code, so didn't help me out much.
So you guys.
And then
oh,
the
good.
Reason you want to tell what we call
no,
it.
He's epic? Asking. He's asking
oh,
a
sorry.
Question.
No, no, you're fine. It's okay. I was just gonna say. I have completely lost
you
track
lost,
of.
Lost the thought.
You guys go ahead. I'll stay in the corner over here and mind my business.
Okay, so we had actually, what really got us is after we really loved going to Amy Bruni's Strange yeah. Escapes. We met amazing people through there. That's how I met Greg and Dana, became a board member for them. But we decided we had the fever, and Amy's events only happen maybe once a quarter. It was like, we got to do this more often. So we went to a Ghost Hunts USA, and I can say that now they're no longer in business. So we went to Ghost Hunts USA at Edinburgh Manor. Love Cindy, love the place. Went in the dead of winter. I think it was like the first or second week of January. It was bone chilling cold, below zero.
One outhouse for everybody.
One porta potty for everybody. And
yeah.
No joke, it was below 30 degrees outside.
Listen, before we said, how many tickets you gonna sell? All 40 or 50?
About 150 people were at this event. They had
oh
a computer
gosh.
Glitch.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like we get there. A couple of them were really nice. A couple of them had overinflated egos, mm-hmm. as you get
kinda
in the paranormal.
Like
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so, which was fine, but it's like in some of the exercises or sessions that you have, it was like, go ahead and touch her, slap her across the face, go ahead and give her a kiss, pull her hair, punch that guy. Mm. You got to stand in that doorway. Don't move. Let the spirit knock you down. And we're like, what? What?
That's the investigator. And you're stuck with one investigator all night. And this one she just mentioned, I got to say this because it's my favorite story. We go to was that the first or second floor? There's a whole bunch of us, and it's like a hospital. It's like there's a lot of doors, a lot of rooms. And this guy says, everybody get in front of a door. And like 40 people would get in front of doors. And he says, now I'm going to chase the spirits down the hallway. Don't let them go into the rooms. I raise my hand. Sam goes, oh, don't, Mike, no. It's too late. It's too late. You think I'm going to do that? No. So that's what we were faced with. And we kind of...
We drove. We left. We didn't spend the night.
It was a six-hour drive to get there, too.
Oh, my gosh.
But we went, you know, like, on the drive home, we're like...
We can do this.
We can do this.
Mm-hmm.
People paid... We paid well over $100 to go there, to not even spend the night in the dead of winter, to be treated that way. We can do better. We've had all this experience with Amy. It's like, so we sat there and let it fester and did all that stuff. And when the haunted rooms opportunity came along, we're like, Mike's like, do you really want to do this? We're going to be gone. Because we were gone the first year we did it. We were gone 36 weekends out of the month. I mean, out of the year.
Out of the year.
Out
36
of year.
Out of 52 weekends.
That's a lot when you've got
that
a bunch
a
of
lot.
Grandkids and you're trying to go to all their events. And but it's like now I think we have more on the calendar now almost this year than we had the 36 the first year. We're like, no, we're going to do our own thing, take our own time.
The key was we can do it. We can do this.
Right. Yeah.
And, and we did it. We did it for about 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And it gave us, again, a great experience. Mm-hmm. But we, when we did our own, we do small groups. We'll do 18 to 24 tickets. And then when you show up, we break you down into smaller groups because we want one-on-one. We don't want you to be part of a mass crowd.
Sure.
Right. You're going to have 5 or 6 in a group. And if you're in our group, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to explain some equipment. Then I'm going to shove it in your hands and say, let's go investigate. You are not allowed to stand around with your hands in your pocket. I'm going to make you work. I want you to investigate. I want you to have fun. I want you to have an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes...
We have to give a shout out to Erica Burton, who is our lead investigator that helps us out, who's phenomenal.
She's amazing.
She's on our Facebook page. She's also our dental tech, who just lives about 15 minutes down the street.
Really?
So that's convenient. She's a wonderful cake maker. She makes amazing cakes,
she is a great investigator.
She's a great investigator,
and people love her.
Yeah.
And the reason
spirits love her.
One of the things we do, instead of being assigned an investigator, we have say 3 locations and an investigator at each location. So the group goes from one location to the next. The investigator stays. So that way, as a group, you get to meet all of us. We all investigate about the same, really, but there are minor differences, and we use different equipment. So that gives the group a chance to be exposed to a little bit of everything.
Right.
And then the epic part is, on occasion when we have events...
You mean VIP.
I'm sorry, on the VIP part. If we have time, if we have a big enough location...
Like Salina Temple.
Like the Salina Temple, we will do 6 or 7 VIP tickets. It means you come in early... You have special treats. You're going to get a gift bag, and it could be paranormal equipment in that bag, like a cat ball or bracelets.
Don't be telling
protection.
Them what they're getting.
Well, no, they want it. They want it.
They've already sold out, so you don't have to worry about that.
But, you know, people enjoy it as much as we enjoy it.
We want them to feel special, and we want them to feel seen, to be a part of something.
Right.
Because a lot of investigations we've been to, you're just a number. Nobody knows your name.
Nobody cares.
I take the time to do name tags so that you can get to know people. And people we've had at my spiritual retreats I host, I've connected ladies that will be best friends for life now. It's that kind of bringing that community together that I think we're just so passionate about. Mm-hmm. And then when you bring in spirit, that puts on a whole other layer of special, because you go back to those locations and you're building a relationship not only with that other human, but with that spirit that's there.
Right. For sure.
That's awesome.
Plus, it is fun because, you know, we do get to know you. We do want to hear your story. So we do want you to use our equipment. And you, if you get the newbies there, they don't have equipment. They don't know what to do. And when it comes to free time.
Some are terrified.
I know. But when it comes to free time, what are they going to do? Well, I tell them, hey, when it comes to free time, come find me, because I still want to investigate.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you say, hey, would you go to the basement with me or to the attic? I'm going to go, yes. Let's go.
That's awesome.
The other part of my, and this is where my ego comes into play. Because once they leave our event and go to somebody else's, I want them to think, oh, God, these guys are horrible. They're not good as my cousin. They don't even know my name. I mean, I do. I want to hear your story. I just want to, we're friends.
Yeah.
Let's
mm-hmm.
go investigate. Yeah. How many times have you been somewhere, you twirl your thumbs, and you're thinking, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
I can do this better than they can.
Many times.
But you don't get the free time to do it because you're still showing off or they're doing this. And,
No.
So that's why we started and we do the things we do because, again, to bury the point, you're a VIP when you come to our events.
Awesome.
And you're going to be treated like
with or without
you're going to be treated like a VIP.
That's great. Everybody wants that experience.
By the end of the investigation, you're going to hate me because I'll be in your face all night long.
I can't hear Nicole. I'm sorry.
No, I said that's really great. Everybody should have that experience, especially if they're paying to do something like that. And they need to be taught. I mean, like, we don't know much. I mean, we watch everything on TV that's probably there, but we don't actually do it. So you need to learn how to do that the right way.
Yeah,
I was going to say, if you want to come to one of our investigations, maybe we have him as guest.
Yeah, but
guest,
he's just getting ready to talk, so I was going to let him.
No, go ahead. Sorry. You guys go ahead. It's okay, please.
Give you an invitation to come.
Okay. Come. Ah, it sounds
good
to us. Yeah,
I'm up for it.
Yeah, we always fashion ourselves a little bit like the unofficial talk show of paranormal, because we like to bring on, you know, all kinds of different guests and stuff and talk about things. But, you know, aside from our own experiences and stuff, we really haven't leaned in investigation too much. We've done a few things on our own, but never for our show. So that's something that, yeah, we're
definitely. Well, I definitely want to get into it. I just want to do it the right way.
Right.
Well, I won't say that we're experts. You know, I'm
not even sure I know what the right way is, to be honest with you.
But we'd love to have you come along. We just announced we booked the Glor for June 22nd. So if you guys are available, then you can come and just be the special guest for the night.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I'll put you in a room, turn off the lights, and give you a record and say, get at it and tell me what you find.
Hey, I'm definitely game for it.
Yeah, I'm definitely game for it. That'd be awesome.
It's a psychiatric hospital, so.
Well, then I'll fit right in.
Do a little grounding before you. If you've never been, you ought to see you'll see the poor torture stuff they did to those people. It's
a true torture room. They thought they were helping people.
There's no way they thought they were helping them.
It's frightening to look at some of the stuff they did.
I mean, I've heard some things from different places, and those stories are bad enough, so I can't even imagine.
Yeah,
I think what they did lobotomies. But what they did in addition to lobotomies is just pure insanity. Those doctors were insane.
They were murderers, a lot of them, I think.
Call a spade, right? It's a murderer.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking behind you, and I see Hellier.
So when I was on the board, Greg and Dana was working on this documentary called Hellier. And you can go out to, I believe it's Amazon Prime, and check it out. There may be YouTube or ABC.
It was on Netflix for a while.
ABC TV. But anyway, you can Google it. Hellier. And we have an autographed copy on this one. We have a second one that's got Carl and Connor, Greg and Dana's signatures on it. Because I was on the board at the time. That was one of the perks. We got a few nicety and few vacations away, which was super cool. But you'll have to go to Planet Weird, which is where it's at too. But it's a great story. It's based on a true story. Has some wild twists and turns in it. Talk about a paranormal adventure. That is, it's crazy. You'll be hooked.
It's
created its own community.
Eight or nine 1 hour
episodes. It's a series. Okay.
I can give you a two sentence preview where a town was asking for help because they thought they were being overrun by goblins. Turns into an alien UFO story.
Okay. And it's
amazing to watch.
That's interesting.
They also have the Unbinding, which is a story about
that's creepy.
An idol thing they found in the Catskills, and things started happening. Two guys found it, and stuff started happening in their apartment. So they reached out to Greg and Dana to take the object. Do you want to go?
Next museum.
Let me go grab it.
Okay. And so these guys had found this on one of their hikes up in somewhere in the hell. I mean, things happen, wet footprints in the house, all sorts of weird things going on. They decided to get rid of it, and Greg and Dana made the mistake of saying, yeah, we'll take it. They take it, and the same things start happening in their house. So to make a long story short, they got rid of it, and the whole story, the Unbinding, is how they got rid of it. I don't know if you can see that real well.
Yeah.
So this is, her name is Meg.
The nails? Yeah.
She's got nails in her eyes and a noose around her neck, and she was in a burlap sack. Tyler Strand made these. It looks just like the original in the cat, and took her eyes out and took the nails out and everything, and did a ceremony to set her free. So we all got replicas. So this is Meg.
That's
not near as creepy as the original, thank God.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the most fearful I am of the objects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
really?
That.
Well, I think just because it's the thing that I most don't understand.
Yeah.
I guess. To you as well?
So what would scare you about them?
Dolls.
What scares you about them?
Well, he's terrified of dolls. He can't do the dolls.
Yeah,
have Rebecca.
Well, not even that. I mean, for some reason, they all kind of freak me out a little bit. But the kind of the older turn of the century ones with the porcelain heads, those, I mean, I
gotta get it.
Oh, my God. Now you said it pretty. Have you guys ever had a chance to get to McIntyre Villa in Atchison, Kansas?
No. I know where that is, but no, I haven't yet.
Mm-mm. Well, if you get a chance, Stephanie, who runs it, we've known forever. She's a great host, fun to be around, and her villa, oh my gosh, it is active.
Mm, I mean,
seriously active.
Yeah,
you would enjoy it.
I have problems.
You guys
got to
get up around us.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Okay, close your eyes, because here she comes. Boy.
Okay.
This was my mom's doll. Mom's doll that we inherited when she passed. There you go.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Oh, you can look at it. See, I don't have any problem with those.
She's got a little bonnet. Jeez. She's got a little hang.
Heebie-jeebies.
little pee.
And her name is Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
Mike was gone to the grocery store, and as during COVID, I was home alone working, and I was walking down the hall, and this doll and another one was in the little carriage that we got from his mom. A few years ago, she had passed, and I just left the carriage of the dolls in the living room at that time anyway. And when I walked by, sorry, the dog's drinking water.
That's okay. You're good.
But yep. I walked by, and I heard, Rebecca. And I'm like, what?
Really?
Right? So I come back. I'm like, did one of you guys say Rebecca? And I picked the one doll up, and it's like, you feel more like a Susie. You don't feel like Rebecca. So I picked this little beauty up, and I said, is your name Rebecca? And I could have swore she said Rebecca. So I went and got my DR60, and I'm like, okay, we're going to find out if you're haunted. So I tell you, she's haunted because she says her name is Rebecca, but it's like K-A-H. She's very
really?
Deliberate on how she spells it. Let's see.
Spooky?
Hi. Did I hear you say Rebecca? What is your name?
Did you hear her say?
I heard it. Yeah.
And that is, it's a very hard K.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, you can't talk over it, babe.
Rebecca? What is your name?
Wow.
So this is Rebecca. She's gone on investigations with us. She has hung out at the villa. She likes the villa. She's not. Everybody, we had her at SpiritCon this past weekend, and everybody's like, oh, my God, you got a haunted doll. Don't look. Don't look. It's like, she's not going to hurt you. She's not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
So do you think it's always been that way, or is that something maybe you guys brought back with you since it was your mother's doll? What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That is a really good question.
I don't know. I've never thought about it being haunted until I came home, and she goes, oh, Mike, you got to hear this. And, oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, there was, when we would go visit his mom, in the room that we slept in, I used to think she was a peeping Tom on her son, because I would wake up and the bedroom door would be open and there'd be a short woman and a tall man, which fit his mom and his stepdad. She was super short and her husband was super tall. Mm-hmm. And so at breakfast one morning I said, so, is everything okay? I said, I saw you standing in the doorway last night. Were you afraid? Just like, I didn't know if she was telling us no hanky panky in her house or that kind of stuff,
yeah,
right?
Uh-huh.
So she's like, oh, that's not me. That's the couple that used to live here.
Mm.
Okay. So I don't know if there was something there then, but she had seen them too. So
yeah.
That's interesting.
Maybe it's that lady. I don't know.
So after she passes, I'm cleaning out her bedroom. I lift a mattress up, and there's a fully loaded 38 Smith & Wesson revolver.
I buy it.
He was taking no chances.
I don't blame her a bit.
Nope.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah,
she's
that's
feisty.
I'm pretty sure I could not live in a home where Rebecca would be. I don't know what it is. I have asked people many times, you know, what it is that about dolls. And I think for me, it's just, I feel like, for prime example, that one right there, the face, especially with the porcelain ones, the eyes are really well defined, and the porcelain, the way it looks, it's just, for some reason, it just, I don't know, it wrecks me.
It looks like they can look at you.
Yeah, it does look like they can look at you, and it looks like...
Her eyes does close.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know, it's funny. Her grandmother, I always laugh when I say this, but there is some modicum of realism with it. She's got this beautiful doll that sits in her living room, and it's on
a
rocking chair. She collects dolls.
Yeah.
And of course, we're going over to grandmother's house, so of course I'm going to stay there. You know, I love her to death. She's an amazing woman. Mm-hmm. But every time we're there, I usually sit on the rocking chair on the opposite side of her. And in my mind, I know this doll is not going to come to life. I know that. I'm a rational human being. I can put that together.
We need to describe it. So it's like a Victorian doll, yes, with the big fluffy pink lace dress, and she's sitting in a chair with her feet crossed. And she's got, like, curly hair with, I think there's a bow in it. And her eyes are really, like, long eyelashes. And
yeah.
So she does look like she could just stand up.
What I always picture is this doll getting up and running after me Chucky style with, like, a knife. And I think to myself, I'm going to punt that doll straight through that window that's right behind it. I don't know what it is. It's just, it frightens me. And it's funny because I do have a picture of this. And maybe for the video portion, I'll throw a picture of it up.
Yeah,
It just, anyway, it's dolls. I don't know. Can't explain it. I've been combat deployed. I've done a lot of different things, but dolls wreck me. Can't deal with it. But so.
Well, it's clowns for me. I'd like to go to the clown hotel, but I don't know that I could handle it.
Mm. Yeah, I, especially like, you know, and of course, I love like the movie Poltergeist where, you know, that clown attacks him and everything. That's nightmare fuel for me. Because for you, it's the clown, but that's another doll for me. So it's, anyway. Yeah.
That stuff doesn't bother me.
Nightmare fuel for me. So,
no,
you know,
opposites attract.
Yeah. Pretty much.
We're very different.
Yeah. The things that spook her usually don't get me, and vice versa. So, I know you guys talk about with Epic VIP that you do mainly haunted. What's kind of in the future for it? Are you guys thinking about maybe doing like, because I know, Mike, you're really into aliens and UFOs and stuff like that. Do you ever see yourselves kind of transitioning, doing a little bit of both? Or are you guys kind of keep it locked down to just, hauntings?
We about halfway discussed it. We've had some experiences. We did have an experience at Area 51, but we've actually had experiences with some other people. I would love to get back into it. I'm a book collector. I think I told you that before. I've got 1,000 books. A lot of it's on UFOs and the paranormal, all written in the 50s and 60s when that was the big craze after Roswell. And I enjoy it to no end. I enjoy the weird stuff that you can't explain.
We have some of Project.
Yeah. Oh, you remember the Project Blue Book that was on,
of course,
TV for a while?
Yeah.
I've got a couple of their scripts.
From Greg and Dana.
Oh, that's awesome.
He gave us a couple. He got the scripts from their TV show and gave us one.
That's so cool.
And I've got some books autographed by some people who were involved in Project Stargate. I don't know if you know what that was.
Other than like the movie and stuff like that.
And, you know, we started, it was an Army CIA cohort. Nobody knew about it. It was called a lot of things, but finally morphed into Project Stargate. And the only reason that we started it was Russia was already doing it, according to the CIA. So they wanted to keep up. And a couple of books written by them were really fascinating. And the one spirit con you came to with that weird room on your right.
Yeah.
There was a little girl right past there in the corner, a very youngin, probably middle 20s. Her uncle was Paul Smith, who was one of the Project Stargate remote viewers.
Because
I talked to her and said, I have got to meet your uncle. I have talked to some people that say they can remote view. She has done it a couple of times. I also want to talk to people who can astral project. Just leave your body and go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And some of the people I've actually talked to, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've left my body once when I didn't mean to. It's a stupid story. I'm at the dentist. I'm maybe 14 or 15 years old. My mom has taken me. I get in the chair and the dentist goes, "We'd like to try something new. It's called laughing gas. Can we try it?" talk to me. You know, they're talking to my mother. And she goes, "Oh, sure." I'm going, "Thanks, Mom." So they tried it. And I'm laying in the chair. I'm, you know, having my mouth work. I'm just laying there. And I swear to you, I swear, all of a sudden, my back is against the ceiling. Oh. And I can see everything as clear as I'm looking at you guys right now. And I'm going, "Whoa." And I got real jumpy and real nervous. And the next thing I know, boom, I'm back in my body. I have never been able to duplicate that since. I just can't duplicate it. Huh. So I don't know yet. I talk to people who say they can.
Yeah.
So would I like to get into that? Yeah. But how do you hold, help me out, guys. How do you hold an investigation? You know, get a keg of beer and say, "Let's have a UFO party."
You're not Stephen Greer.
Stephen Greer. But
that would be, you know, that would be very difficult.
That would be tough. I'm sure there's a way to do it, though. I mean, we could we could probably bounce some ideas on it.
Keg of beer and go watch the skies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm in. You had me a keg of beer.
Go to an unknown place where people see things a lot.
Yeah.
And just watch. I mean, but people are up for that type of stuff.
You'd have to be out in Arizona where you could really, really get into it. Really get into that.
You could go to Sedona. Everybody's up for stuff like that in Sedona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know how to.
But you could do it around here because there's twice, because I reported it. So there's twice. I was leaving to go play pool. We used to play pool together, but I was leaving, going down our road, and twice on two different occasions at the exact same spot, some large creature flew over and landed over my car. And I have an SUV, so it's a pretty big one. It's a Highlander, but it was just over, it was black, and then it was gone. Happened to me two different times. One night I was driving, because my dogs are spoiled little divas. They get car rides instead of walks. That's why I have 10 chins instead of one.
Yep, and we're familiar with it.
So I was taking them around on the car ride. And my big boy, Jake, is looking up, and I look out the window, hand to God, there's this massive, massive, it looked like it was a pontoon boat in the sky. It was pitch black. Mm. It was all black. And it had like those aluminum things on, like pontoon boats. You know how they have those two pontoons, the things that make them float?
Right.
It had two really long. But it had to be 5-6 football fields long. It was massively wide. It's right above the tree line. I am freaking the F out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I come around the corner and I'm thinking it's going to beam me up. It's going to beam us up. It's going to beam us up. And I fly around the corner, run in here and tell Mike, get the phone. I could not even.
I run outside and go.
Run outside. There's nothing. There's no way this slow as it was moving over the tree line that it could have just vanished. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just because I came around the corner, which is over by the lake, and I come down the hill, maybe 500 feet.
Wow. Guys,
that's frustrating.
You know, you can write a book about it, but how do you have an event and say, "Okay, boys, it's time to fly over"?
It would be difficult. However,
but there was stuff reported on MUFON during that time frame, too.
Are you guys familiar with Andrea Perrin?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. We know exactly who she is. Yes.
The Conjuring, the oldest of the four daughters that live there.
Yep. She's the oldest,
she's a
correct.
Super nice lady.
Yeah.
She's the oldest. She has invited us to her house many times in Florida.
She invites a lot of people.
We can't get there. we can't get there at all, okay? So the first time I ever meet her, we're in Mackinac. No, it was Mackinac Island. Mackinac Island. I'm kind of at the bar having a gin tonic. All the investigation's kind of over, and I'm kind of enjoying myself. And Andrea stands up beside me. He goes, "Mike, let's go down to the lake, which is about 200 yards away. I'm going to call my galactic friends." What'd she say? I only had one drink. Wait, say that again? Let's go down to the lake. I'm going to call my galactic friends. Okay, fine. I'm in. So that's the first time. We go down to the edge of the lake, and there's maybe 15 people down there. Mm-hmm. It's a small crowd. And I'm going, hokey, you know. So Andrea gets down by the water. It's a clear night, not a cloud in the sky. She holds her hands up like this and starts singing Frank Sinatra songs. I'm going, this is fun. Until the cloud appears on my left-hand side. On a clear night, the cloud comes out of nowhere with red, blue, and green blinking lights in the cloud. I mean, blinking.
It was like a big spider web. It was like a big spider web matrix.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was the wickedest thing.
She kind of goes, "Well, thank you, my galactic friends. Thank you." And I blinked and they were gone. So we go back to the room. I said, "How many drinks did I have?" I'm sure. But, you know, I mean, seriously, it's... And so a year later, we're up at Sault Ste. Marie at the Michigan Paracon. And Andrea says to the crowd, "Let's go out to the parking lot. I'm going to call my galactic friends." I beat everybody out to the parking lot. Man, I'm going to get my spot. And I'm going to be ready for this one.
Yeah.
Sure enough, you know, not a cloud in the sky. And she's doing the same routine. Hmm. And the cloud appears again with the same blinking lights. Only this time, honest to God, you can see the edge of a saucer coming out.
Really?
And it's like, mother. Then she goes, "Thank you, my galactic friends," and they're gone again.
But what was special about
Before it happened?
Before we happened, she gets it's all out in the parking lot. I mean, there's lights out in the parking lot and everything.
It's a parking lot.
It's a parking lot.
For a casino.
Right.
For a casino. That's where it's being held.
So there's like 50, 60 of us out in the parking lot. If we need to cut, just say cut.
You're
done.
Good.
No, you're good.
Okay. So she calls us out there. And all of a sudden, about 10 feet above all of us, is this ball of light that shoots over our head and dissipates when it gets to the tree line. It just dissipates. Wild. No sound.
No sound. And it's about the size of a volleyball.
But it's like a ball of fire. Yeah. Almost like the ball of fire behind you in that frame.
Yeah.
So then the next year, we've told everybody about how amazing this is. And so... we have people go back with us, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
2 or 3 years ago. We have friends come back with us. They wanted to see the great Andrea and how she brings in her friends. We're like, there's no way she can replicate that ball of fire again, right? No way.
She did.
Wow. Happened again and caught it on videotape.
No.
Then we go to Houghton Lake at UFOCon last year. She's there. Rupert's there. John Tenney's there. But we're outside, she's calling her galactic friends in, and instead of it being on our level, she's just like, "If you're there, just give me a sign." And the minute she said that, a ball of fire came down out of the sky and then just dissipated. Same kind of ball of fire, same exact kind. There's no way on God's green earth that she can make that stuff up. There's no way you can convince me that three times in a row she's able to manipulate something in the atmosphere to do that ball of fire for her.
That is so wild.
But did not an illusion.
Did she explain to you guys like how she's able to do that? No.
That's her energy. That's her friends.
Wow. That is fascinating.
Jeez. She's fascinating.
We've been lucky enough to run into some of the weirdest people and talk to them. And, you know, and that's why I like to go to these things. You heard her say we were at the UFO conference at Houghton Lake, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a neat thing to go to. It's fantastic. We met a preacher, a black preacher from South Carolina, Michael Carter, the Reverend Michael Carter. Mm-hmm. You got to Google the guy.
We're actually going to interview him soon. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, Mike, have you ever talked to him before?
No. He actually reached out to us. So, yeah, we're going to be talking to him soon.
We're going to have a fantastic guest. Awesome. What got me was we were getting ready to listen to him speak. I'm thinking, I'm not sure. You know, I grew up Baptist, got baptized in the Catholic Church. I mean, I went to a lot of religions just to check him out, okay? And I don't want to hear a preacher talk until he stands up and goes, hey, you know, guys, if you take the Bible and replace the word angel with alien, it makes more sense. I went, let's talk. And he was awesome. I mean, honest to God, you're going to have a great, you tell me, God, I don't feel remember or not, we roomed right across the hall. We did some serious drinking and talking at the bar.
He's not going to remember you.
Probably won't, but you know, Brad Blair and Tim Ellis, they run Michigan Paracon. Wow. And don't drink with them, because for every beer you drink, they'll drink four. They're pros. I can't keep up.
No.
But he came over and was talking to us. God, he's going to be... People, if you're watching this, you got to tune in for that one, because Michael Carter will amaze you.
We appreciate it. We're very excited to talk to him.
Yeah, we watched a couple of clips. Actually, I think the reason I saw him is you guys had shared something from him, and I decided to follow him, and then he followed us back and contacted us and wanted to come on the show. So it was because of you guys that we actually got in contact, whether you knew it or not. Oh. So thank you.
Hey, if you're getting paid for this, I want my cut now.
If only.
He's mind-blowing. He literally blew my mind.
It was the quickest hour I ever listened to, and I walked out of there going, holy mackerel, I got a whole bunch of new things to think about.
That's awesome.
So I love listening to people like that that make you just like...
Oh, you will. You will have a great time with him.
And here, I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can see it.
It's a sequence of them. I've got, you probably can't see there, but I have a sequence of them.
See, it kind of comes out,
moves in and fades out. It's not the moon. It was a new moon, so there was...
No,
the moon was over this direction.
It was a new moon, so it was black.
Right, it was black.
That's what I was saying.
If you guys want, send those to us, and we can put it on for the video. I know our listeners won't be able to see it, but you know, our listeners can also watch the video. So,
sure.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, that's awesome.
Listen, guys, you know, I really want our audience to be able to reach you. So what's the best way for them to reach out to you guys and kind of get involved in what you guys are doing? You know, how can they find the mysterious Mike and Sam?
You can find us at Epic VIP Events on Facebook, and all of our ticket sales, we have our events under the events tab. You can search on Eventbrite for our events. The Mysterious Mike and Sam have a YouTube channel, but it's only got one video on it, so we're trying to get that built out. We don't have a website yet, so they have access to your page. But in addition, you need to tell your people how to find us. All of our events, like Mike said, are pretty much sold out. We are getting ready. We have 5 tickets left for the Clayton House in Fort Smith, Arkansas. We've got the new event we're putting out to the Glore in St. Joe, Missouri. And I'm going to put those tickets on when we get off of the podcast. And then later this evening. And then we have the Beatty Mansion, which is also in St. Joe, coming up October 12th, I believe it is.
Awesome.
So, but all of our other events are sold out. You can get on waiting list. We have probably 10, 11 other events you can get on a waiting list, or just message us at mysterious.mike.sam@gmail. Or you can call 816-600-0295.
There you go, great. Guys.
So how can our friends find you guys?
Well, you can find us.
Because our friends will watch this. So how can they make sure they don't miss your podcast?
So we're available, obviously, on YouTube, Generation X Paranormal. Mm-hmm. So we run both the video part and audio part. So we're also available, I think, anywhere you can stick a podcast these days. Mm-hmm. So same name, Generation X Paranormal, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I think basically pretty much on all of them.
iHeartRadio,
all of those. So yeah, guys, come out and find us. We'd love to have you. And, you know, we have a good time. We, as you guys can tell, we kind of keep it pretty loose. So love to have anybody take a listen. So, but
yeah, and free your calendar up for June 22nd.
That's okay. Right.
And come be our guest at the Glore.
It is free.
Yes, you can come be our guest.
Perfect. That would be amazing.
I charge friends double. No.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, that does make sense.
I need new equipment.
Ah, well, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and that equipment is not cheap. So
I've got a rim pod. We can bring that.
My God. It is not cheap. It is not cheap.
No, it's not.
It is not.
No, it's not.
And the locations are going up, too, because everybody's wanting to investigate.
Yes,
now
they
that COVID is hitting, which is fine. A lot of places that hadn't been charging what they should have been, like the Villa, she only charges $500 to stay Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mm-hmm. I mean, a night. It's $500 a night. But you can bring up to 10 people. That's $50.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
That's not bad at all. No. Even if you're splitting it in half, but it's, you just can't, I don't know. I'm pretty partial to, you can't get a, we like the energy of having the people there because for some events, it really ramps up.
True story.
Okay. I'm sorry.
All right. Well,
wrap it.
Yeah. Again, thank you so much for coming on, guys.
Thank you guys so much.
We had a blast.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Hopefully not the last time too. I mean, we can link up again, and maybe we'll do an after show of the June 22nd thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
that would be cool.
Yeah. But
That would be fun.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Yeah, and go ahead.
Bring your camera and take lots of pictures and videos. And can have a hell of a podcast.
We're there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Screaming.
What's that?
I can get one of you guys screaming.
Oh, you can get me screaming. Absolutely.
It'll be him.
It'll be me. See, that's the thing that people don't realize. Just because we enjoy it and do it.
Do I need to bring Rebecca? Do we need to bring Rebecca for you?
We don't have to because the second floor has a museum of dolls.
Oh, that's true.
You already committed.
Okay.
You don't have to go down the hallway. It's pretty haunted, but you don't have to go down that hallway.
No, if I'm going to go, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I may freak out. Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah.
No problem with it.
That's awesome.
But again, thank you guys so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward to seeing you guys soon. That was fun.
That was fun.
You know,
they're always great to talk to.
Yeah, for sure. And we didn't want to say it in the beginning, you know, that we knew them because, you know, wanted to save you guys a little surprise in there. But no, they're a lot of fun. And meeting them in person, if you guys do go on one of these events with them, right, the investigations, you're going to have a good time. If you hadn't guessed, they're so easy to talk to.
They are.
And they're a lot of fun. And they just, they know how to tell stories, and they know how to be engaging, and they care about the people they're talking to.
I know.
So it's like, why wouldn't you go, you know?
Well, and that's the way it should be. I love the fact that they involve people because there's nothing worse. I mean, we've never done one of these things before, but we have gone on the group, like, ghost tour type things. And there's nothing worse than, like, being at the back of the group and just kind of, like, you don't get to see anything or hear anything, and nobody knows who you are, and it kind of takes away from that experience. So I like that it's like you've known them already.
Absolutely.
You're friends on a group thing, you know, having fun together. So I like that aspect.
For sure.
And it does make a big difference in the experience that you have.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you so much for enjoying this wonderful conversation. You know, if you're on YouTube, please like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, all those kind of cool things. If you're listening to us on the podcast, obviously, please follow. And if you could leave us a review, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. Hopefully a 5-star review. I mean, you know. All right. Anyway, enough of that. But
check out our Facebook and Instagram.
Yes, we are on both of those.
Follow that. And I put out the weekly episodes there. So if you happen to forget, you'll get notified when you're scrolling.
Yeah. Doing your You're just going like this the whole time. Anyway, guys, thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Generation X Paranormal.